You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. All right. Today is June 9th, 2016, year of our Lord with the Queen. Here I am in the audio chat, fakeologist.com/audio chat with my good friend, Tommy Delpra.
Yeah, no fucking Tommy Delpra, mate. Is that fucking Aussie fucking drunken? No, it's not.
I used your bumper a couple times. Did you hear it?
Oh, no, I don't know. Did you use it on those? I'm so sorry. I'm going to listen to that now. I told you I've been busy. I've been really busy.
Are you behind in the audio chats? How dare you?
Well, I've got to do like John Le Bon, put them on fast forward and then listen through them on my bike as I
definitely.
He does them on high speed.
I do too. I definitely do too. I listen to them at 1.45.
Yeah, but
1.45,
okay.
I tell you.
As long as you don't start trying to say people's voices are changing. Because you can't really tell the intonation properly with a speeded up voice, can you, exactly? So I think you perhaps lose a little in the translation there. But it's not a bad way of getting it, the info down, yeah?
But if I didn't do that, I would never be able to keep up with all the other guys. There's too many audios.
You're prolific, then. You speed them up and listen to them like John. Yeah, wow, yeah.
I listen to them as fast as possible because otherwise I never get through them. And I do get tired of listening to stuff after a minute or two or a while. So,
yeah, sure.
My head starts to hurt after a while sometimes.
I'm a fan of the spoken word. I generally can stand it for quite a long time listening to people.
Just the topic, you know, it's like anything else. You can only do it for so long before you get tired of anything, at least if you're a normal human being, or unless you're paid for it. Those are the only two circumstances I can see to continue doing something over and over again that's repetitive, besides sleeping.
Well, I mean, there's various habits we need to do over eating.
Yeah, squatting. Are you still squatting?
Am I still squatting? I regularly squat, but then, you know, that's just during play. No, I mean, occasionally if I think, oh, I need a good shit, I might, you know, hop up on the toilet and this
you
is
do
deliberate.
Not.
You're deliberately introduced this into fakeologists as a ploy, as disinfo, haven't you?
To bring ridicule
to this site.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you've
absolutely
done.
Absolutely.
Because you had it sitting there, squatting there on the site for ages at the back there as things Ab liked, squatting right from the start. And you've just come through strong with it. But no, I mean...
Well, Black Dog was saying something like that too. I don't know what the hell he was saying.
Well, I'd like to throw in a bit of devil's advocate there for you because I think
these things
go through people's minds. No,
you're
I'm
not. You're
not
Black Dog, are you?
I thought you said
you like to put it through. Black Dog was going on about this. But then he said he liked it or he was appreciative. I don't know what the hell he was saying. He's a rambler.
He's a little bit aware.
I thought he was type aware or piche in disguise. What do you think?
He may just be a genuine eccentric. I don't know. I like to be friendly to people because I don't like to make enemies.
I'm not really
confrontational. And
I think
stuff
he's eccentric.
His stuff reads more eccentrically than too sinister. Having said that, you know, disinfo takes many forms, I suppose, or trolling. You know, he's put a few posts on there, you know, in the forums and stuff, and you just wonder. Black Dog, Black Dog.
Yeah.
I don't know, but come on the audio chat, Black Dog. You are very welcome. And he makes them.
Well, he does audio.
I like his cynicism.
He does audio shows.
I like his honesty. Yeah, I like honesty. So it's all of good fun to an extent, you know, I suppose. He's beyond me a bit sometimes. He's an eccentric, yes. But the nuclear question. You're going to talk to Hoy in about half an hour or something about nuclear, because he came on and posted on that thread that we were talking about. And I'd sort of said, well, Barbara Mueller maybe make, you know, she seems to be making fair enough points. Yes, I think the point that Barbara, what struck me about Barbara's comment was that she probably made a point that a lot of people, position where quite a few people are at, that they could see that nuclear bombs were fake. They could understand that concept. But ours is nuclear power completely fake? that appears to me a sort of less research subject and a less, and perhaps another leap, a big leap, perhaps a bit like satellites being fake. It was a big leap. And I think perhaps there are quite a few people in that position who would, I've got friends who believe, you know, think 9/11's not right. They think it's an inside job or it's a fix, a setup or whatever, but they can't believe 3,000 people didn't die. They just can't believe the mass fakery of, on that level, that idea of faking the whole thing. And I think perhaps, you know, you could see the idea of the whole of nuclear being completely fraudulent becomes too much of a challenge, a leap too far almost at that point to us sometimes. So, I can understand someone's reaction in reading that. I think it would be a relatively common common response. But perhaps the truth is perhaps the truth is that it is completely fraudulent, and nuclear power is in fact a complete contrivance, really. That is fission fiction, nuclear fission, you know, splitting the atom. I don't know, but. Yeah, are they dump loads? Is there some kind of... as far as I could tell, producing energy isn't a problem. It should be pretty abundant and could be produced without hardly any cost at all. I don't know. I really don't know, but that's my impression. That's a foolish one. And so the question isn't really finding power. There's plenty of it around. And that these nuclear power stations are just an illusion of producing power, and they are just sort of recycling electricity going into them, flowing into them. That was the idea. That was that Ray West had of them being. I mean, this dump load idea, but could be rubbish. You know, I don't know. That may not make sense. I'm not technical really at all, and I say I'm not a technical type of person. We all have our different sort of specialities, but I'd like to hear some intelligent people talking about nuclear power and the veracity of it all. This nuclear medicine, that's another one. You know, what are we exactly talking about here? The whole science of splitting the atom and creating energy, creating loads of energy, creating heat. You know, what is the veracity? Can some be produced? You know, is this just merely, you know, radiation? Well, everything's fucking radiating, isn't it? You know, there's always energy coming off. But some of the science of it, you know, how much of it makes any sense, and what can we test in a laboratory? These are questions that go through my mind, and Ab has dropped off, which is why I'm doing it. A soliloquy. Not really what it is it? Well, I'll stick around here for a second, but... thanks for listening, being there, and you know I love you, darling. Over and out for now.
All right, I'm back, Tom. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, yes.
I'm sorry about that interruption.
No, not
am
at
I
all.
Coming? Okay.
Not at all. I did. I went into a monologue.
That's well, probably just as good that I...
Waffle.
I got
waffle
blocked
from
off.
A happy amateur.
So back to that on the audio chat.
Indeed. And I do apologize for talking over you, Tim. As you know, there's a slight delay, so... I can
don't
start
apologize.
Talking.
Stop apologizing, for God's sakes. What are you, Canadian?
Well, Canadians are polite, but you see, they've got that from the English, the idea of manners.
Oh, yeah.
It goes
oh,
a long
yeah.
way. And fair play
oh, yeah.
as well. Fair play. These were values that the empire brought, and that the migrants, the immigrants back in the old days, like the Indians that came to England, would appreciate, perhaps, you know. They liked that about the English. Manners
you guys,
and fair play.
What is fair play?
Fair play. Well, you know, actually, fair
they're
play.
They're only politely corrupt?
Yeah, what is fair play? It's a matter of opinion, probably, isn't it? I mean, it is society, is things in general we talk about aren't fair play, are they? They're cheating, effectively.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Actually, but in society, of course, it's advised to have fair play. You know, that's much better for the general public to play fair, because they keep calm then, don't they? So to speak. Do you see what I mean? You know, play fair. It's a game, you know. You play by
yeah.
rules. You keep everything peaceful. You do what you're supposed to do. Supposed
honor
to
your
do.
Contracts. Be proper.
Yes, play the game.
Use the right fork for the right dish. put it in the right place.
There is an element of that, but I think there's also the fair play would be, you know, if someone owns a house, or, you know, there's right and wrong often, isn't there? There's what's fair and what isn't fair, ultimately, one feels in life. You know, if someone's worked hard for something and earned their money to buy it, and then someone comes and steals, takes it away from them, that doesn't seem fair. Well, this is all I'm talking about. This is really, on a basic level, fair play. You know, a sense of integrity, which perhaps, you know, should be instilled in us, you know. What do you think? Fair play.
Let's go to the nuclear topic, because it came up again. And the post I made did what it was supposed to do, got people talking. And I just get a little miffed because I don't mind being disagreed with, but sometimes I know people are on the side just to run interference. Which in a way is good because it makes those arguing for the point a little smarter and a little better at what they do. So I get it, but sometimes I think some are just here to argue the official line.
Yeah, okay. We're specifically talking about Barbara Mueller on that thread, I think, aren't we? Because she came in with an ostensibly fairly balanced reply on that particular post about nuclear power. And just to sort of give a bit of background for anyone listening.
And who is Barbara Mueller? Because SMJ came in and said Barbara Mueller is some character from the nuclear science story, PSI.
Johannes Kepler, his missus, he married her. She was twice widowed at 23 before he did. So she was a gal. But two dead husbands before her. But she married Kepler. Who is a sort of high priest of science, I think, to an extent. And
the solar system, right?
But one of these people, but from a long time ago, and I'm not sure this kind of ties to later developments of anything, perhaps. I don't know how much.
So is this the Kepler that ripped off Tycho Brahe?
He was, Kepler was, yeah, he worked under Brahe, yeah. Yeah.
And Simon says that Brahe was the real hero and Kepler was the one that may have poisoned him and ripped him off.
Well, here we are. So this is interesting stuff then. These seem to be people that are still talked about. So so there you go. So he's like the baddie in that setup, isn't he then? Simon's saying, no, this is the other guy knocked the other one off, effectively, perhaps even, you know, stole his ideas and then subverted them. Kepler was the first supporter of the Copernican model. I think he was the first person to sort of write something major, have that published, supporting the Copernican model. He had some kind of amazing moment realizing something about the shape of the things. And wrote about it. So these are relevant people. So, but here, and his missus was called Barbara Mueller. So it's quite a common German name. And from some of what Barbara's written, I figured English might not be her first language. But
no,
so she made.
But
it
I
German.
Asked her why she picked that name, unless it is her name.
But she didn't answer. She didn't answer.
And
she may well be a disruptive. But I, looking back at some of her previous comments, or thinking back, perhaps she always comes in with a similar tack. They're sort of just quite sane, but sort of question. Because I was just thinking about it.
I get tired of people saying not everything is fake. We already went through that 100 times. We know not everything is fake. I know that you're not fake. I'm not fake. This phone isn't fake. We're not saying that. We're just questioning the very fundamentals of this so-called science.
Well, I questioned the way you put it, because you put on your post, nuclear bombs are fake, nuclear power is fake.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's emphatic. And
that's just my laziness, really. I don't sometimes feel like elaborating too much, especially when I'm typing on my phone.
Yeah, it's only Tim. He chucks it out there, he stirs it. Probably is fake, but I mean, it's a big, yeah.
Big deal.
I mean, that's a good one. It needs more exploring. That's what I think, to an extent.
Yeah, I agree.
SMJ came on the thread and he posted his stuff and he's probably thinking, yeah, Tommy, you know, it's fucking bullshit. Yeah, the scam, you know, it's a complete scam. And I had my head around it once and just thought, yeah, it's a complete, the whole thing's a con, but Yeah.
Are you thinking that way a little bit, at least? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. I'm asking about, I'm wondering about the whole thing. The whole thing
you
about
should?
Particle acceleration and, you know, the whole
nuclear
new
science
of
in
it.
General.
Nuclear
yeah,
science.
Yeah, yeah.
Nuclear.
I think it goes with quantum physics. I think it's all bullpocky.
Well, if we look at the situation with the dinosaurs, you could say that you have a sort of a paleontology or you know, it's surely almost a created thing. It's a science
yeah.
still, but it's that seems to be a complete bullshit science. I mean, that's a complete fabrication. I mean, they came in with this new nuclear technology after the Second World War. They can have it for bombs and they can have it for energy. It's great. Is it completely contrived? You know, can you split the atom? Is fission fiction?
Is there an atom?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, is there, yeah, I mean, these questions come to mind. Now, and what can you prove in a lab? And you know,
isn't it the atomic theory?
Well, you see, I am a layman talking about these things. You know, it's very,
that's
I'm very
okay,
happy
me too. I'm very lay.
Oh, I'm lay. I'm lay as lay. Lay me. Lay
it
me,
is
lay.
A theory. Theory is not a fact. I don't think anyone's seen an atom.
Well, no. I mean, let alone split one. If you get one of them fuckers in half, that releases a huge amount of energy.
I'm thinking CERN was just an excuse to build a tunnel boring machine so they could bore through the mountain and build transportation links. I think that's all that was.
Well,
what do you think about that?
Two in one, one in two. Flush them both up the loo, down the loo. Yeah, I mean, quite well, quite could have been. I mean, what about that thing that they set up, the Calutron girls, you know, in California? Was it California?
Yeah. Oakridge, Tennessee.
Tennessee. Calutron. Yeah, I mean, you know, all those sort of primitive machines, looking machines.
The thing
and all those
is, that was
workers.
All just props to
well, yeah,
sell a phony, phony baloney science.
Well, it absolutely works as a con anyway, but could they possibly be producing anything? Do you know what I mean? Is there something
no.
they can produce?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't.
No, no, I'm coming. I've always been more of that opinion, but yeah. I think
they're giant.
Seems to be.
They're just giant do-nothings. And people just can't believe something so big be lied about for so long without anyone talking. Well, if I'm making six figures, I'm not saying a thing. I'm not even giving my opinion. I'm going to let this one go and go and go. If someone tells me you got a 30-year career making $150,000 a year for doing almost nothing, I'm going to take it.
Well, look, it's like any company, big company owners. Yeah, they get a load of money. I mean, yeah, it's all part of the game. That's where it would work, wouldn't it? I mean, it doesn't like any big business, you know. But yeah, yeah, I mean, it works like that. Sure it does.
It really
I
does
mean,
work that.
You just, my friend who's a doctor of chemistry, he went to university and then did a doctorate in it, but he, as part at university, went to a nuclear power station and he said he ran it for a day. You know, he said he ran it. He's a bit of a. He has his moments of bullshitting.
Ask him if he's at all skeptical about the science.
Well, oh yeah, I ask him about all these things. I throw it at him a little bit. You know, I tell him about the bombs. I'd no doubt they're fake. Can't you see the benefit of that?
He's the kind of guy it'd be fun to talk to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is. It is. It's fun to. I'll see him tomorrow. I'll ask him again. But he said he ran this nuclear power. But it embarrasses me at this point. I don't want to then push the good doctor too far.
What does it mean to run it, though? Just stand in front of the control panel?
Exactly. I mean, what the fuck? So I said,
I could run a 747. I think the buttons light up and say, press this.
It didn't take much to get his face to drop. You know, it's a tell, isn't it, with intelligent people. And I said to him, well, you know, what can you test in a laboratory? And he just face dropped when I said that. You know, he's as if he just thought about it for a second, and then there's a clarity came to him for a second, and the idea that shit's a load of bullshit, isn't it, came into his mind. You know, there was that just a moment. Then, no, he was soon over that, you know.
I often wonder, these scientists, if you're a scientist, could you ever question some of these basic questions? And if you did, would you ever make it public? It would be very difficult to do that.
Yeah. So what you've done by the time you've invested.
It would shoot, you'd be shooting yourself in the foot and then
yes.
wondering if you were going to bleed out on that, really. It would be a really risky proposition. You've invested all this time and energy. You've been good at it. You've bought into the science, even though you can't really see it most of the time in a lot of these ways. And then would you ever dare question it?
If you did, it would be ineffectual.
It'd be like a banker questioning the money system. What good would it do?
Exactly. What good would it do you, or what good would it do anyone?
It would do you no good. You would be labeled a nonconformist, and you wouldn't get because with all companies work in a crony kind of way, you would be overlooked.
You could be marginalized, and you just go on a sort of marginalized edge of science, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah, it's a simple example of someone like David Bellamy, who was a BBC guy, so very much establishment sort of. He went to university with my auntie, actually, who lives in Vancouver, but she was at Durham University with him, David Bellamy, and he's famous in England. He was a botanist, but he came out as opposing. He didn't think global warming was man-made. He just didn't. He thought that was false, and he just, from being a favourite on television and a BBC favourite, he just sort of disappeared. You know, he just wasn't there anymore. You know, and he went on television and he talked about his point that he thought it was a fraud. You know, it was fraudulent, it was false and things. And he was good, but, you know, it didn't matter. He just sort of, you know, what became unfashionable and just sort of faded away, really, from public just a simple example of it, I think, isn't it? He was a bit of a scientist and he just didn't toe the party line. You know, that's a very basic way it works.
Right.
BBC, you know, or the Met Office. I mean, you couldn't get a job in the Met Office if you were skeptical about, you know, the global warming movement, you know. Do you think it's a flat earth? Do you think it's a flat earth? If you're not in, you're out, you know.
Yeah. I like hearing conflict and differences and trying to hash it out. And I know that the people that control all the money, they don't want dissent. No siree.
Yeah, they want,
people towing the party line.
Yes, there's a presented reality of dissent, whilst the whole populace is completely calm and no trouble at all. Hopefully, perhaps, unless you know you want to stir up an area and shift a whole load of people.
I got about 20 minutes left, and then I'm going to go on a little audio chat with Hoi Polloi and Kaham. They're doing something on the nuclear.
Good stuff. Timely. Oh, yes. I'll be glad to. Yes. Yes. Let's see. I'll be interested.
That'll be on Clues Chronicles. Clues Chronicles.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, you know, how far my question, I think I just put a post on the thing. Yeah. Where does the con begin and end? You know, where is the, you know, really what is this nuclear? It's very tempting
unclear.
To say it's all
unclear.
Unclear. Science, you know, could it be a complete contrivance? You know, what, I don't want to
I'm
be
going
saying
with that.
That
and
that,
I
you know,
do.
In, unless I'm sort of can back it up with a bit of, you know, credibility.
But I
There's
said, why do we have
up.
To prove it's not true? They have to prove it's real.
Well, I think you're right, really. Yeah. Yeah.
How can I prove
just
it's not
got,
real?
Well, I think what you have got is a whole load of power stations and a whole load of energy coming. But you see, I was just saying, isn't energy just, it's abundant, isn't it? Can't you just produce it? It's a con that it's not abundant, isn't it really? Is that?
Yeah.
That?
Oh yes. Yes.
So,
oh yes.
So you don't really need to produce it. You know, you need all these nuclear power stations to produce your power. You don't need them at all. You could just, you know, have them as, you know, points of, earth dumps or whatever they are, you know, electricity could go into them, you know, down the wires, as we've said before. But, yeah, I mean, it could run like that. I mean, that really is.
Well, the fact that it's controlled internationally, the International Atomic Energy Commission is a clue that it's centrally controlled. Why does it have to be centrally controlled on a worldwide basis?
Yeah, yeah. This new science that came in at the end, World War II, wasn't it? You know, and then post-war, they're going to go forward into the going years with this new nuclear. You know, they had the first bomb that ended the end of the war. So it's a nuclear age. And this nuclear is actually perhaps complete contrivance. And if you completely contrived it, then you can completely control it.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry that over the years, no one has really come forward with any good evidence or made any compelling case, because it just shows you how well controlled the whole system is, since I've been speculating that it's all a big bunch of phony baloney.
Yeah. Well, post-Fukushima, I think all the nuclear power stations in Japan closed down. But then since then, 25 have applied for reapplied. You know, so they're coming back.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't seem to be going away. It's just recycled it. And so it's,
that's so silly, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and also, of course, it's emission friendly, isn't it? You see, nuclear power. But it's kept as a scare on one hand. It's a, you know, and a blessing on the other. It's kind of like an entity which can be used for good and bad at this point. They're providing lots of power, but at the same time, you know, very dangerous.
And nobody sees the contradiction there.
It's weird. On the question of sort of radiation and the Geiger counter, I mean, we speculated ages ago that, I mean, is there anything in it? I mean, really, it's just nowhere near as dangerous. The Chernobyl fallout, you know, really, is it dangerous at all? I mean, radiation.
Well, the babushkas of Chernobyl have already proven that it is not. Did you see that little video?
No, I didn't.
They haven't left. They wouldn't leave. They wouldn't do the land clear. They're still
right
there.
They haven't grown extra limbs, and their children haven't grown extra limbs.
No,
there you go. I mean, a great, fantastic land clearance, yes. That was always a good part of the old nuclear technology. So we could,
why did they want to clear the Chernobyl area? I have no idea. Maybe it was just a test, and that was just an area they decided to see if it would work, because they're going to maybe institute it globally where they're doing these land clears. And maybe the Fukushima sector up in Japan, is it still cleared out of devoid of people?
Well, there you go. There certainly was a big clearance along the coast there, a lovely bit of coastline. But, I remember that one guy was staying there, and they said he will definitely die. You know, he's in all this radiation. Yeah, well, I wonder. But if you've had one of these big Chernobyls, then it stands as an example of what can happen, doesn't it, then, still? So it's a spectre. So it works as that as a big imprint anyway. So it's functional like that. And as you say, it's an exercise, a drill, to see what happens. And it seemed to work all right, didn't it? So Ab's going to go and speak with Hoi Polloi and Cahem, which is good. And I will bid you a very good night, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, because you're heading off soon, aren't you, Tim?
Yes.
I was just bidding a good night to the listenership. And
Sorry,
listenership.
The good listenership?
Yeah, to anyone that, you know, for some random
reason. I'll give a program note, by the way, to anyone who, I don't mind people posting interesting threads in the chat, but they do get lost. I don't really save them. So if people could use savechat.fakeologist.com, that would be wonderful. I want to get that going again, because I think Vespa, or use the forums.
Yeah.
Vespa did a post on Jade Goody, and this goes to our idea that celebrities are used for big cancer hoax, creating cancer hoaxes. Not cancer is a hoax, but these celebrities that get cancer and becomes a whole thing. By the way, the band in Ontario that where the guy had cancer, they're adding new concerts all the time. Obviously, he's feeling even better now that he's selling out.
Well, if we can go on the Wilco Johnson, if we could say Wilco Johnson's story was perhaps a prototype or a model for it, that, goes on this really successful tour, and then perhaps they record, you know, have a big selling album, and then he gets better. I don't know. Well, I hope so.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Of course you hope so, yeah.
This is a Britisher?
Yes. I think I talked to you about it last time, but yes, Wilco Johnson. Old sort of blues guitarist rocker who got cancer and then did a last tour.
Terminal
cancer.
Which kind of?
I think it's pancreatic.
Oh man, that one never gives up.
Well, one in etc. It might be stomach. I don't know. I should have.
That's all right.
I looked at it.
So he had
a
bad cancer. Now he's perfectly
Terminal cancer. He had radical surgery. It removed the tumour. It was the size of a baby, we were told. You know, that nice little detail got in there. And then he's all right.
Cancer.
And he produced an album with Roger Daltrey. You see, absolute darling.
Wow.
He got him in. I mean, that's a pretty high profile one. And it went to number one. And then he's all right. Now he's all right.
Oh, great.
You know what I mean? You have to wonder. You know, but I was rooting for him. It was great, you know. I believed it all. I mean, you know, I still do to an extent.
But you weren't skeptical at all, because really you wanted him to get better, and he did.
Yeah. I mean, in this instance,
Did that override your good sense to question? Because you really wanted him to get better, and damn the details.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm just curious, even now, are you okay with the idea that it might be a true story?
Well, I put forward, I haven't heard anyone talking about it as being a celebrity cancer story. I wrote a post on your site, and I suggested it. So I've suggested it, you know. So,
yeah. What about Jade Goody?
I don't think they are. Well, Jade Goody is interesting, yes. I remember Nemesis putting something on there. Jade Goody is interesting.
Great name.
She married, or was certainly had two children with a guy, I think, called Jeff Brazier, who now works for Good Morning Britain television. So television personality.
Good Morning Britain.
Yeah, it's Good Morning Britain. But his father was apparently the pilot or the captain of the Marchioness, which was a famous ship that was sunk in a big psyop. Well, I think it's a psyop. I've said that's a psyop. We've got a thread. Is it Felix?
It was called Martian.
The Marchioness. We did a thread on it on the site here, on your site here. It's in the forums. Yes, the Marchioness. MARCHIONESS, I think. But he was the captain of that. So that seems to be a psyop actor, most likely a psyop actor. And then his son's in television. It's like, all right, okay. Yeah, there's sort of a lot of media people hand in hand here. You know, we'll look after him. Yeah, the boy. And he was supposed to have died in that crash. His name was Faldo, I think, Stephen Faldo. But, you know, another net surname again keeps it all complicated. But he was with Jade Goody and her children. And I don't know. I mean, I obviously have worked in a cancer ward, so I've seen real people.
And Jane Goody was in a funeral
stories.
That was almost as big as Lady Di's, or similar to Lady Di's, of the 21-person or 21-vehicle convoy, or cortege.
Yes.
Cortege.
Yes.
Cortege.
What I would say is that I've worked in a palliative care cancer ward here in Cambridge, D9 in Cambridge here, and it's...
D9 to 11?
Yeah, well, it's pretty strong ward in the sense that it's... Most people on there, most all of the people that go on there have terminal cancer. And I worked there for a year and obviously every day there are stories like the Jade Goody one, as the official story of Jade Goody that is portrayed that happened, you know. And so what are we saying we've got here? Is this, I'm saying, right, these cancer stories happen. So we're going to contrive one that we can present it in a good way, a positive way for people or something.
And it will be believable. But it has to be believable.
I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, it happens anyway. So where's the, you know, what are we being sold to an extent exactly here? That's what I'd question with it. Wilco Johnson example, I can see it, you know, got better. You know, almost like, you know, why not? Positive cancer story, you know. You could certainly give a boost to alternative medicine. It's a good business idea anyway. Got a number one album, you know. He had this radical surgery to remove it. But, or is it, you know, is it some sort of dastardly plan to promote this sort of fantasy, fallacy that is cancer? Continue this sort of, this big C word myth, you know, with these stories.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To promote them all. But at the same time, it goes on every day. Yeah. So, it's not as if they're making it up. Is it the idea of cancer up and these people, the way that the people are said to be terminally ill?
Well, it's totally believable. that someone could get cancer, because almost everyone knows someone who has or has a form of cancer, terminal cancer. So there's no problem creating a story that's somewhat believable. But what is the normal outcome of these terminal patients for you?
Well, it's
death, right?
Yes, yes. Within a certain period of time, apart from...
Did you see anyone with brain cancer that got through it and over it with successful treatments of slash and poison?
No. But on the ward I was on, there was one woman who was sent home to die, effectively. Palliative care, of course, is not...
It's end of life,
speaking,
right?
Yes. It's making life more comfortable. So this at that point, these people were terminal, often terminal, but they were still having radiotherapy and chemotherapy and various treatments. So all sorts were on there, in actual fact. But the palliative care side of it is not about sort of making someone better, just making life more comfortable for them.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So
yes.
That can involve various treatments. So,
Anyone get through brains? Surgery, brain, chemo, brain, radiation.
I wasn't there long enough to really, really understand it at all. I'm not a doctor. I was on there as what you call a housekeeper, where you're looking food and drink for people and looking after people, keeping the kitchen tidy. And you're very much part of the ward, and you get a real insight into it day to day, and you talk to a lot of people. But I don't know, sort of medical side of it, the technical side of it, not well qualified to talk about it. But people went home. One woman was sent home, and then she came back. You know, 6 months later, she came back, and she survived it. You know, there were like miracle recoveries with once the doctors had sort of said they'd given up. You know, there was that one in the time I was there.
Yeah,
but generally, you know, it's I mean, these things are real. You know, there's obviously tumors we had this guy Noel Edmonds, actually, a guy called, came out in England yesterday talking about alternative therapies, and he said, you know, negative thinking can kill you, and that he'd had this kind of special alternative therapy when he had prostate cancer, and he reckoned it had cured him. He was open-minded, so this was a big splash in the papers, you know.
Well, that's the whole placebo effect. That's real. I think placebo is real. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's such a stupid idea at all. Positivity. The power of positive thinking is well known, isn't it? Once I saw a guy dying on his deathbed, very close to death, and I walked in the room. It was an old mate, and he smiled at me. And when he smiled at me, his face almost seemed to shape-shift. And the whole life of him came back into him. So no more defined could it be that lovely, warm life force that made you smile, was good for him physically. I saw him change with it, you know, as a big smile came across his face. He suddenly looked healthy again, you know. What's that? Is that the power of positive thinking? Seemed to help at that point. But, I think you're right, the placebo effect. And I quite liked it. So I thought that was relatively open-minded thing to put into the public eye, you know. He was open to alternative therapies. You know, this guy, he's been promoted as a bit of a crackpot, though, of course, you know, as a bit of a David Icke, suddenly. Is this the new David Icke, they're asking? So these ideas are put forward with, you know, crackpot attached, a nutter attached. But they are out there, you know, they're kind of...
Anything I should bring up on the Kick and Hoy show?
I think my question is fission fiction? Is the whole thing, you know, where does it start and end, really? Do you know what I mean?
I like that. Is fission fiction?
Yeah. That would be an easy one to remember to ask.
Yeah.
You know, nuclear fission. I think that is the splitting of the atom, where you bombard it with neutrinos or whatever, and then it breaks down and releases more, which creates the great energy. You know, can you do, I mean, obviously they're not going to have the answer yes or no, but can we really ask that? Is it valid to ask that question? You know, is it right? Can we really ask, is fission fiction? Is nuclear energy and nuclear bombs. You know.
To bring up 9/11 again, do you remember that this one of the central scientific players that chimed in on 9/11, I believe his name was Stephen Jones, was involved in this cold fusion idea of producing energy.
Yeah.
And there was some discrediting of his theory and the more you think about all the side stories around the nuclear science business or community, not all of the stories are just meant to obscure and go nowhere. They're all dead ends. Nothing ever comes of any of this research, which just believe it's the same with all conspiracy research. It goes nowhere when it's about a fake premise to begin with, you see. The JFK research will go nowhere. The 9/11 research will go nowhere because the original story is fake. And this is why nuclear science is an exact parallel in the scientific community, I think. It has all same characteristics as a PSYOP.
Yes.
I think. Parallels are endless.
Yeah. It seems very. It suggests itself to me as that.
Yep.
Nuclear power plants. So really, what are they doing in there? What's in that boiler thing? I started looking at it because I'm just an amateur looking at these things. But I mean, it seems.
Well, it looks like it's 4:20. I think I'm gonna have to sign off and go find them in Skype now. I'm sorry to say, old Tom.
Yeah, sorry for rambling, but good to talk to you, man. But I've been lonely. I've been sitting here lonely today.
I'm as rambly as you are. Believe me, we're meant for each other.
Hey, mate, no worries. Have a good talk with Kay and Hoy. Say hello from me. See you later.
I will. We'll be in touch. We'll see you on the airwaves on Psychologist Radio on Psychologist.com.
That's where it is.
That's later. It. Ciao. Hey, I'm back in the live stream with O'Hallahan. O'Hallahan, hello.
Hello, hello.
Say hello in South Korean.
Oh, 안녕하세요. 안녕하세요. My Korean is terrible. I have a horrible English accent when I speak Korean. So. Yeah.
Hoy is Max. Here.
Yeah. I wanted to say, hey, Max, I got to tell you that I really love your work for years. I've listened to you talk and I just love your work. So.
Thanks, I appreciate it. If you don't mind, could you use Hoy?
Yeah, sure, Hoy.
Yep. Oh, thank you.
Ahoy there.
Yep.
yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so here goes the hornet's nest. I'm going to get everyone pissed off at me. Yeah, so.
Oh, okay. What'd you do? By the way, Max, Ahoy uses a Linux computer.
Well, I'm using Linux now, yeah. I'm trying different machines.
What flavor are you using?
Right now, mint cinnamon.
Me too. Love mint.
Well, that's Dan's favorite.
Yeah, Linux Mint 18 is about to drop, and I'm really excited for it.
I am excited too because maybe they're going to fix some of the issues with Pulse Audio and some other things. But anyway, it's good.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with it, but I probably don't use it to the same extent that you use.
I'm trying to do some like video editing and recording multiple. Anyway, there's always some way around it. It's just the problem of installing the wrong thing and breaking the script. And
yeah, it just doesn't have the user base that Windows does, so it's harder to get an answer really fast.
Yeah, you don't have all these paid Microsoft employees.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Is that the community writes its own programs, and I think I just use Audacity when I do a podcast, and it works just fine.
I do it too. How do you record both in and mic? I mean, how do you record, like, for instance, you play a YouTube video, but how do you record that at the same time that you're recording your mic?
I've never done that before. I don't know. Yeah,
you're basically trying to merge inputs, It's a mixing problem.
I have figured out how to, what was the thing? There was a little cheat that I found. It's Pavu control, and then you can have it monitor how do I explain? Anyway, you can have it monitor its own. I could hear myself if I load the loopback module. But then the issue was how do I also get Audacity to recognize
that input?
Yeah. So anyway, I was struggling with that a little. There was some. There were some snarky answers on the Audacity forum.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
That's not nice.
No, no. I mean, the Linux community is super grouchy because they're like, hey, I've done so much, can't answer all the questions, every computer is different. But at the same time, when you do find an answer, it's like, hallelujah.
Yeah, I found the Debian guys to be like that. I had a I was screwing around with Robo Linux, which is based on Debian, and I made the mistake of going to the Debian forum and saying that I was using Robo Linux, and you know, they started linking to me, you know, like the paid service that Robo Linux has to answer questions. You know, yeah, thanks, guys. You know, if I wanted to pay for information, I just would have. Did that for ad, whatever. But
would have switched to Mac, right?
Yeah. So,
sorry. So, but, what is the thing that's going to throw us into a
tizzy? Here it comes. So, guys, I downloaded season 2, episode 1 of I Am Kate.
And, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, that's Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner.
Who's that?
Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah,
transgender.
Oh, yeah. That thing. Ah, that's great.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, so I just figured and guys, I don't know how much time I got left. My wife is going to wake up soon, and I just want to, you know, make her coffee and interact with her soon. So I don't know how much time I got. I should have hopped on like an hour and a half ago because I downloaded this episode, and I'm watching it. I'm struggling through it.
You're brave.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, just because, you know, Hoy said, who is that? Let me just explain it. I didn't think there'd be anyone planet-wide who'd say who is Caitlyn Jenner. But, anyway, it's, yeah, Bruce Jenner, the 76 decathlon gold medalist, transitioned into a middle-aged woman. And, and my first reaction when that happened last year was different than everyone else's reaction. My reaction was, you know, I want everyone to be happy. You know?
Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting people, frauding people, I want you to be happy. That's my take.
I never worry about other people's happiness.
Yeah.
If
Bruce is happy as Kate, then I, you know, more power to him, her, you know, pronoun watch. And I also thought he looked cute. I thought it was an improvement. You know, I looked at him before and after, and I said, you know, look, he was a turkey necked, you know, looking old, you know, old looking athlete, who turned into, you know, not a half bad looking, you know, 65-year-old woman, you know,
almost like magic.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was my first reaction, and, I didn't think of it at all until I started getting, Ab and everyone else that I was talking to was saying it was a psyop. And, I don't know why I'm the only one that's talking about this. I don't know why I'm the only one that finds this interesting. Most people, you know, in our group don't even find this interesting at all. I find it compelling. so I just want to, you know,
I find it interesting
say,
from a culture creation point of view.
I am O'Hallahan. There's one out there.
You're what? Say that again. You broke up.
Yeah, I am Kate. I am O'Hallahan. Nah, no.
Oh.
All right. Enough with the jokes. So, all right. So,
are you coming to the punchline or did I miss it?
No,
he's getting there.
Oh, okay.
Stop with these stupid jokes. I'm not a comedian. Anyway, so what is it about this that I find compelling? People that we talk to are going to say is that it's fake, right? And, look, guys, you can fake just about anything for money, right? I mean, I could come out, I mean, if I was paid enough and I was of a certain mindset, I could fake that I was a Democrat, right? Yep. You know, it would be vomit inducing, but I could pull it off.
Oh, we need
money,
a rim shot,
right?
For that one.
Yeah. But you cannot fake, you know, if someone says, hey, I'm going to give you $16 million per episode if you change your gender. No, that's not fake, right? There's something real here, right? Bruce wants to be Kate. and I believe him. You know, especially after listening to him talk about it, I believe him, and I want him to be happy. I want everybody to be happy. I want to be happy, right? So, on one of the torrent sites, I downloaded the first episode of I Am Kate, and I got to tell you, it is one of the most painful things that I've watched, you know, in a long time. You know, first of all, I find you know, the celebrity culture really skeeves me, you know, and I connect politics in celebrity culture. It really skeeves me. You know, I'm talking to Hoi Polloi and I'm talking to Aberrato, and you guys are not naive, right? So when I say politics skeeves me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the average person, no, they don't understand what the hell I'm talking about. But
it's so like first, it's the fact that politics is a stage show rather than the fact that some scandal or whatever that we're supposed to digest is just coming.
Yeah. Oh, Hoi, you just cut out.
Oh, sorry. I have to talk loud, I guess, or the auto cutout will just.
Yeah, lower the threshold. I think I okay. Do that myself. The last time I heard myself on abs, I was cutting out too. Yeah, just lower your threshold and go away. Anyway, yes, I agree with you that it's just a stage show. And I'm not going to go on and on about that because everyone that listens to us already knows that. So I'm not going to go on and on about that.
Well, you know, can I interrupt?
Yeah.
I think some of the best analysis of this whole transgender meme is done by Paul Romano of Pockets of the Future on YouTube.
I was just about to talk about Paul Romano.
He really gets into this topic a lot. He seems to be spending a lot of time on it. And I agree with him that it's just part of the disruption of the culture. It could easily be on the population reduction agenda, the eugenics agenda, anything that can disrupt the family, the family that procreates is on the agenda. And this might seem like a really bizarre one, but it seems, unfortunately, that only the most bizarre stuff can bubble up and get attention from the mass noise that is the media now.
But that seems like how it's always been. I mean, if you look at like people with the attitude like P.T. Barnum, he's like, you gotta entertain people with the most outrageous things and get their attention and make shit up, and it works. Mm-hmm. Now I have a different perspective because of maybe my generation or whatever, but I think that they don't totally fake everything. I don't know if they're even that creative, but they exploit what exists and artificially inflate and artificially downplay in order to push things in a certain direction, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was just about to you stole my thunder with Paul Romano Ab. Just about to say Pockets of the Future. I listen just like you do. I listen to that guy every day, and it's great. I'm not religious. You know, I was born in to a Roman Catholic family, and I went through the catechism and all that stupid nonsense. And, as I grew up, I'm religious agnostic. I don't buy into any of these religious, arguments. And, Paul Romano, I really enjoy Paul Romano because he has a religious point of view that's not Christian. I think he's a Hindi. He's like a yoga Hindu, you know, kind of believer in spirituality and takes God from that perspective. And I really enjoy it. I don't necessarily believe it, but I don't necessarily disbelieve it either. You know, I mean, it's a great point of view, and he fleshes out his point of view very well, in my opinion. Yeah, he's really, you know, he really goes to town on transgender issue and equating Caitlyn Jenner with Baphomet and all that. I don't subscribe to any religion, so I'm not going for this Baphomet stuff. I have no idea whether we're surrounded by demons or angels or not. I don't see any demons or angels around me. It doesn't mean that they're not there. I just don't know. All right. So God. All right. So anyway, I'm watching I Am Kate, and the first half is because it's the season opener, right? Season 2, episode 1, it's the opener. You know, they're all kind of reintroducing the trans characters again. And I got to tell you that these people seem very nice. You know, they're very intelligent and they're very nice. The problem is that they're extremely naive. You know, very intelligent, but extremely naive. They just not understand how the real world works. And, you know, and this is, you know, I want to talk to the screen. Like what happened in this episode is they all get on this big bus, you know, they're all associated now with Caitlyn Jenner, who's a multimillionaire. And so they're doing all these multimillionaire things. And right there is where I begin to ski, you know, but anyway, they get on this, you know, this bus, and this bus is decked out like somebody's living room. I mean, it's this bus, the living quarters inside this bus is as big as my apartment, and it's actually way nicer than my apartment. And so they're all sitting around, and you know, they're drinking wine, and they're beginning to have discussions about trans issues. And again, like they're all very nice people. Some of them are extremely good looking people. Their opinions are well articulated and they're intelligent, except they're extremely naive, right? So I'm going to get off my chest right now what I wanted to say to my computer screen, you know, as I was watching this episode. Look, guys, every human being on this planet should have a home, right? Every human being on this planet should have a home. Every human being on this planet should have food, right? And I'm not saying that these things need to be provided by government, right? We're all born into this world. We're given this world for free, and everyone should have their own little piece of it. Let's say a square quarter mile. I know I've said this to you before, Ab, a square quarter mile of it, and you should be sovereign over that piece of property until you're dead or until you give that property up in exchange for another piece of property, right? You should have a big enough piece of property where you can grow your own food and you can go hunting to harvest your own meats. And you should have clean water on that property that you can either pump out of the ground or save from the clean water that falls from the sky, right? This is basic human rights, what every single person should have, right? I have absolutely no patience for this debate between Democrats and Republicans. Look, guys. If there is one child sleeping in the mud, the system's broken. And I mean one child sleeping in the mud planet-wide, the system's fucking broken, right? There are no winners. There are no winners planet-wide. I don't care how rich you are or what you've won. There are no winners when there's one child sleeping in the mud. One child who doesn't have food, right? There are no winners when that is happening, all right? And that is actually the norm, right? I mean, guys, for as poor as I am, right, I'm one of the privileged. I have a home that's warm in the wintertime, right? And I have absolutely no patience for people that run around in multi-million-dollar buses, you know, in wearing a dress that costs hundreds of dollars, and it starts bousing, you know, or starts arguing for trans rights, right? It's retarded, right? Because we live in a world where they're spending millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars on aircraft carriers, right? I think it was the USS Ronald Reagan where they said it cost $1 trillion, right? And $1 trillion would buy a full home, right? A completely built home for every man, woman, and child in the United States. And so if you're going to argue that these, you know, that sideshow freaks, and I'm not talking about Caitlin, I'm talking about Hillary and Donald, right? You know, if there's any debate other than that we should not be spending $1 trillion on an aircraft carrier, that we should be buying every single person in the United States a home with that money, if that is not the debate, then it's fake, right? And guys, this is 101. This is human being 101, right? This is the first couple minutes of my university lecture on being in my class, Human Being 101, is that there should be no child sleeping in the mud, and there should be no child trying to dig dinner out of a friggin' landfill, There should be no child hungry. There should be no old person that's dumpster diving for lunch. You know, until we solve that problem, there are no other problems, right? And this is why I can't watch I Am Kate for any more than 10 minutes at a time. They are so self-absorbed. You know, they're so absorbed.
I don't know why you would have punished yourself to do so. I would have told you ahead of time not to do it.
Well, it's important. I mean, first of all, they're fellow
for
human
who?
Beings. Agreed.
It's not important. Yeah. It's important by the – it's promoted by the media. That should be your first clue that there's a problem because I told you
normally,
the media is not there on – is not on your side.
Yeah.
It's not there to promote basic human values.
Yeah, 99.9% of the time, Ab, I'm in total sync with your opinions.
You don't have to be.
No, but I usually just am.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, and but here, there's something real about Caitlyn
there's
Jenner.
No. I'm sorry. You're being fooled. Boy, is he being fooled?
Me? Oh gosh, I don't even know who this person is supposed to be. I'm just so unfamiliar with celebrity culture. I don't know how to comment on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. With what Hoy just said is that normally I'm way out of the loop. You know, I don't listen to rock and roll music. I mean, Dave McGowan has taught me, better than that. And guys, I got to tell you that for a long time, it really freaked me out about Fukushima, and you guys are winning me over with that's a friggin' hoax. But there's something real about a guy who goes to the extreme length of changing his gender. I don't know.
You don't know what length he went to change his gender.
It's true that here's what I would say. I mean, it's true that people do it. I have no idea if a big celebrity who's getting a bunch of media coverage about it did it. But I, you know, people who have done it and are doing it. And I guess my point is, if you feel that it rings true for you, then it's a piece of art, whether it's true or not, that rings true for you. And that's good and that's fine. You know, that's what media can be for. I mean, when it's good. The good side of media is that it brings up human issues like art, like good art should. The downside, of course, is when they do so in blatant disregard of what's actually going on. That's why I'm not really, I don't catch up on those things as much as like things that are in blatant disregard of like the vast majority of peaceful Muslims who just want peace in this world. And they're trying to say that they're all like on the verge of like suicide bombing everyone. You know, that to me is a big conflict where the art is destroying truth on purpose.
Well, I don't have any idea what's going on in the average guy's head. You know, I have a small group of friends that are not aware of what's going on, and their opinions are so, you know, they're so out there they might as well be on Mars. You know,
well, that's where TV has actually improved people's lives, right? Like people who are like, oh, Black people are human. Oh, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like some people, no, they really would not know that unless they saw a TV show where Black people are treated like human beings and not scum. That is basically like a thing that TV has done for people. Thank God for that. But, you know, then there's all this other stuff that comes with it. It's, what do they call it? A two-edged sword or something like that?
I think that there is something real in here, and because I don't think that their opinions, that they're, you know, I mean, they're drinking wine and they're kicking around different ideas, and this cannot be scripted. You know, this is the way these people
feel. Oh, no, you're no. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Television is scripted.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Ab here. I mean, the thing is, because like game shows are scripted and they look like they're all hesitating and they're all. But there's quite a few that are quite, I mean, don't even use their real names, really.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to comment on it or judge one way or the other. Ab's probably attitude is going to be, no, get away from that. get away from that trash.
Stop playing the matches. We've already exposed the Tell a Live Vision for what it is. It's a cultural programming device. It's very dangerous. It's hypnotic. It puts your psyche in a very low gear. It's akin to sleeping. You're very easily hypnotized in that state. And in a state of hypnosis, we can make you believe almost anything. And
well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that.
I do know. I think that's science. Real science.
Well, I don't know. I'm not trying to deal with the mechanics of, you know, of TV interaction with the brain. I mean, that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is how these people who are intelligent, you know, I mean, they're obviously intelligent. You listen, they're not stupid. You listen to Caitlyn Jenner. This is the scene. Okay. This is
Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. And,
you're already falling for it.
I call people what they want to be called. You know, Hoy wants me to call him Hoy. I call him Hoy. You know, Caitlin wants me to call her Caitlin. I call her Caitlin. I call people what they want to be called, you know? So, anyway, Bruce, Caitlin, whatever, you know, he's the one conservative Republican on the bus and they're all Democrats, you know? And he's saying that, what conservatives want is not necessarily trans issues. They want human rights for everybody. And I almost fell out of my chair. You know, this is Rush Limbaugh coming.
How does he know what conservatives want?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
Conservatives don't want human rights for everyone. Conservatives want people to work really bloody hard to become rich.
Yeah.
But that's just one of the memes that has floated for conservatives. I still believe that most people are individuals.
Yes.
And therefore, there is no one that can speak for conservatives. There's no one that can speak for fakeologists. There's no one that can speak really for Clues Forum other than its founders, of course, because it's their forum. But I don't like when anyone says, the Clues Forum way of looking at things is this. Oh, how the hell do you know? There's no Clues Forum generic member.
My point was to contrast the idea that, oh, conservatives all think this with this other generalization, conservatives all think this. And if you try to hold those both in your mind at the same time, you realize exactly what you just said, Ab.
Yeah, well, you know, you're funny. You're a bit of a contradiction yourself, O'Hallahan, if you don't mind me saying so as a friend.
Yeah.
You won't use Windows 10 because you're sure, based on some evidence, that it's toxic, it's gathering, it's doing things it doesn't tell you it's doing, and you just tell people to wholesale avoid using it, which is probably pretty good advice. Yet you'll go and sit, you'll go seek out culture creation material that's specifically crafted to alter people's perceptions, highly scripted, highly acted by a well-known acting family syndicate, as it were, that have been used in proven, in my opinion, psychological operations. You will seek out that material, you will download it into your brain, and then you'll start to believe it. This is such a contradiction.
Yeah, well, there's no consistency guaranteed here.
That's true of anybody. Yeah. That's true of anybody. That's
true. I never guaranteed anyone consistency, so I'm not Paul Romano.
Stop downloading that toxicity into your system. Just stop eating the poison. If there's a collective wisdom that we talk about all the time, that the media is the enemy and nothing they serve up hasn't been thoroughly explored for its psychological impact, then you should be extraordinarily wary about following these people right over a cliff. This is highly scripted stuff. It's highly developed. It's highly funded. These people have to be believable. Otherwise, they wouldn't have an audience. And I've heard, and who knows if it's true, they don't even have that great an audience. There's not that many people that are even willing to entertain the thought of such psychological nonsense.
Yeah. It's painful to watch, that's for sure. You definitely have to have a different mindset than mine to enjoy it.
I won't watch torture videos. I know what's in them.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that, you know, multimillionaires are cruising around the land in custom-made buses. I mean, that's just enough to make people like us, you know, into heave, you know.
I don't like it either. I don't like watching shows where rich people are parading around. It bothers me. Yeah, I agree. I don't like the inequality. I don't like it. I'm not a, I think everyone should earn their keep, and I'm willing to somewhat help out my fellow brother by having half my wages confiscated every year by the government who redistributes them in what they think is an equitable way. I'm putting up with that. But on the other hand,
yeah.
Don't put up with that as far as their support of the phony space system, though. Come on. Help me write something. Help me say something like, excuse me, please, you know, I don't mind, you know, public parks. Those are fine. Can we please stop giving money to psychological operations, Black Ops?
Can Americans really have to say, can we knock off 20% of the military budget and put it into something else? Like Michael Moore says, can we put a chef in every school so the children are at least getting proper food that nourishes their brains and not poisons it?
Well, as long as we're going to be like mass brainwashing them, yeah, have healthy brains.
Ops getting wealth to begin with. So I don't know. I mean, the reason that I think this is important is because I think there's some reality here, and it's important, I think, to get a handle on what the average guy thinks. I mean, you know, we are, and I'm sure you guys are aware of this as I am, is that we and the people that listen to, you know, and go to Fakeologist, if you're not a paid troll, we think differently. You know, we're so far out in left field, the way we think.
That all agree.
And I isolate myself too. Like I only, the websites that I go to are, you know, Fakeologist and, you know, Clues and, you know, Renegade. I'm always at Renegade all the time, downloading Charles Giuliani. And, you know, I'm at Crow's site. I'm at Higher Side Chats, Greg Carlwood. And I mean, this is where I get my news. And when something actually happens in the world, I actually have to type in Yahoo News. Like I don't have it bookmarked. I mean, I just refuse to, you know, pollute my mind with that stuff. But every once in a while, I've got to connect. And I think that there's.
What do you go? Yeah, I'd rather watch alternative documentaries like the one I just watched, Speciesism. That was an interesting one. See, you only have so much time left on this planet. Try not to dip into the toxic stew too often. There's other stuff to watch, I believe.
But, you could read Henry David Thoreau.
You could read a book, yeah.
You could read, there's some very interesting, I mean, but I understand because, my gosh, I mean, when I was in Korea, it was just like media glut, and you kind of just had to make your little space, and...
Oh, yeah, you were in Korea, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you
had to... You did a year contract. What city were you in?
Daegu.
Yeah, yeah, I was in Gwangyang for about 8 years, far away from... But, I totally checked out. The reason that I'm here, I didn't come here for some kind of teaching experience. I escaped 3 years.
Like many expats, the teaching thing is just the thing they can do.
Yeah, to get them out. And, I've been out so long now, that I if I went back to the United States, I'd have to actually reestablish citizenship if I was ever stupid enough to do something like that.
You'd have to go through a reverse culture shock too.
yeah.
You don't lose your citizenship by being overseas for a long time, do you?
You know what happens is that you fall out of the system, right? You know, you don't pay taxes in so long, you don't have a driver's license for so long.
Hold on a sec. Are you an American citizen?
Yeah, yeah, I'm still. I never dropped that.
Well, then you're supposed to file. Sorry.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Wait. Funny. Yeah. It's.
You are.
That's pretty funny.
You can, but here, there's actually an agreement between America and Korean governments and America and Japanese governments that you don't have to pay taxes to either country under certain contracts involving like teaching and things like that, and you can actually go through the process of filing the, you know, the official form that says that, and they will just throw it out and like not even respond because they know that all it says is I am fulfilling this particular loophole.
Well, in 2012 is the whole reason why I got into this research. There was a worldwide media blitz by the IRS that all Americans all around the world, regardless of even if they ever lived one day in the United States must file a return to show their worldwide income.
What?
Absolutely. Well, why do you think I got into this research? I explained this 4 years ago. Even our finance minister, who's since passed on allegedly, he went to Washington to clarify because Canadians have an 100% tax treaty with the United States, whereas any tax we pay here is 100% deductible against anything we owe in the United States. And because my mother thought in her infinite wisdom to maintain American citizenship so she could give it to her children, I became an American citizen, or I got my documentation way in the past. And then I heard this news, and then I started looking into the IRS, and that's how I stumbled upon all my 9/11 research to begin
with. Well, you can't take every single thing they say that contradicts. It's like taking everything in the Bible for contradict each other. You can't. No, I'm sorry. Like, if they don't specifically explain that when you are actually expatriating or whatever.
Oh, my goodness. This was a worldwide media blitz. That's how I got the message. It went right to the very top. Our top finance minister was asked about it officially on the record. What is going on? There's a million, maybe a couple million expats.
I'm not doubting
in Canada.
I'm not doubting that you actually experienced this. All I'm saying is, like, I don't know a single person in my generation that knows of this.
Well,
I refuse to engage the beast. I refuse. I will not.
I wanted to keep crossing the border.
Yeah,
I didn't want to be stopped at the border.
Yeah,
we have a border. I like the U.S. I go there all the time. that was a fear factor for me.
Yeah, I will resist this.
Okay, just as you advise O'Hallahan not to indulge in awful celebrity media that poisons the brain, I'd recommend not downloading the fear porn that the IRS broadcasts from no point of authority and no constitutional established basis for their legitimacy.
Agreed.
Well,
they need to be ignored.
Well,
they're terrorists. They're psychological terrorists.
Yeah.
Well, we have a different idea about it here in Canada.
Well, okay,
I will not.
No, it's different. If I were a Canadian citizen, that'd be totally different. But what I'm talking about is what has actually been agreed upon between like different parties. As far as I looked into it because I have paid and I have been audited and I've gone through the whole thing. I've talked with tax people all the time, and they have never brought up. No, I mean that media blitz thing. I don't know where that came from. I would want to know more about it.
Look it up. It started in 2012.
Well.
That's how I found. That's how I got. That's why I started looking into the 9/11 research. It came up in the same websites, really, actually. And at the same time, I was listening to Howard Stern and Jesse Ventura went on, and I just collated the two pieces of information and put together and started looking into 9/11. Really, I was always interested in 9/11.
That's something else that's painful to listen to. Howard Stern, very painful to listen to that show.
Well, I haven't listened to him all of this year, but
there's different degrees of pain for each media personality. With Coast to Coast, it's like someone slowly drilling into your tooth without anesthetic, and with Howard Stern, it's like somebody beating you with a fish or something. It's just different degrees of pain that come from the media.
Yeah, I agree. He's changed, but honestly, that IRS media blitz that really caught me. And I would say about half the people I talked to that are Americans here just ignored it. But I thought, well, what if there was some kind of computer system that actually coordinated with the Border Patrol and they said, hey, you haven't paid your taxes.
Oh, goodness.
The rest of you can go through. I don't know.
I don't think it's like that. But you know, you got to do your own thing to survive. But I think it's a big confusion, to be honest. And they take advantage of that.
Well, listen, it was really, as usual, to frighten the big fish. But when you cast a wide net, you catch all the little fish like myself.
I know.
And unfortunately, a little fish can't really escape the net in the same way a big fish can just plow right through.
Well, you're caught up in all the big fish. Get out of there.
Well, squeeze through. Too late. I'm already in the system. It's crazy.
Well, we all are, but, I mean, we're not, too, you know?
It's just, thankfully that media story, that was what got me going into this. I would not be talking to you about this had I not been sucked into that little intake. into the underground world where we currently reside.
Will you write thing, or are you done with that experiment? You don't want to rock the boat, so to speak.
Well, first of all, when you file your IRS return, unlike in Canada, they don't even acknowledge that they got the damn thing. What kind of stupidity is that?
Yeah.
I even asked my accountant, I said, I didn't get anything to say they got it. Yeah, well, if you don't hear from the IRS, then that's what you want. I said, really? I just send something in the mail, and if I don't hear anything, then that means they got it.
Yeah, they're mafia.
How ridiculous is that? Where I live here in Canada, are you kidding me? I get a statement every month. Okay, we got this much from you. You owe this much. Matter of fact, I got 6 days to pay up. And we get receipts. We can go online, check out our tax account. Whereas in the United States, with the IRS, you just mail it to Austin, Texas, and hope they get it.
That's because it hasn't been legally established. There is no legal language to establish it. It's just a culturally imposed group.
Well, this is news to me. Well, it's not so much news today, but it certainly would have been news then that I could just safely ignore it and go over the border and live a happy life. And
well, it depends what you're doing, because they pay attention to, and they've changed how they're going to do it too. Like, this is how I understand it. They paid attention for a long time, not to people keeping double books in like big corporations, although occasionally apparently that's used as blackmail to, like, you know, target groups that aren't doing what they say. But more like if you pay a certain amount. If you don't pay a certain amount, if anything, they owe you stuff. They owe you tax returns and things. If you have a very low income, like me and my friends, we have such low incomes that one time I filed and they said, you know, we owe you a dollar, and it cost more to buy postage for all the work I had done than to bother to get that dollar. So I just didn't. I just keep the fucking dollar. So it's like that. And it's just... It's absurd.
I actually never owed anything until last year. And all of a sudden my accountant said, well, this income came from over here. It's not exchanged. It's not 100% exempt. Therefore, it's taxable only in the U.S. So I had to write them a check.
Yeah.
And they cashed it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, my point is, never mind the tax thing. Maybe we can write to Congress people. We can write to, I mean, just to get official reactions of these things on paper. Because some people have countries that they live in where representatives are actually obliged to say something, even if it's just a nod or something, like, you know, like New Zealand, where you can just go up and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm thinking this. I want this message to get to this representative, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It would be nice to just have a few statements where people have said, okay, well, this is where we're at. Not to hold it against them, but to help the people understand. You know, when they protest, they say, well, if someone knew, then everyone would know, you know, that kind of stupid thing.
Well, no, your letter was a great letter, and I said that, and I posted it on Qualtus.com. I'm just not sure from where I am who I want to approach and what. We have Canadian PSYOPs.
Write the Queen. How about the Queen?
Yeah, she is my leader.
Yeah.
Difficult for me to imagine bending the ear of the Queen. That'd be a great photo op.
But don't they have? Don't they have? you know, like form letters at least, or you know, obviously the Queen doesn't read every single millionth letter. She just reads something that's been distilled from blah blah blah. And they have all these staff members probably like going through it, and intelligence people going, okay, I guess we respond to this one. And
yeah,
but something like that, something, you know, it's going to be on some kind of stationery. So people can see.
Well, maybe I'll write to Prime Minister Beauflex.
Okay, I'm so ignorant of our good cold
neighbor
sister
to the north.
Yeah.
Our what, Prime Minister guys, is...
Guys, I got a jet. My wife just woke up, and I want to talk to her and make her a cup of coffee. So
be well.
You're good like that. Say hi to Nuna.
I certainly will. Oh, Nuna, Ab says hello. You want to say Lolo? she says hello.
I don't know. I told Loro. Hi, Nuna.
Hi,
Lolo.
Come on, Nuna. Come on. All right. I'm sorry, Ab. Go ahead.
Say hi to Hoy.
Yeah. Oh, she walked away.
Oh, too bad.
But, okay, yeah, I got to go. So.
All right. Nice chatting with you. Stop watching that poison. It's mind poison. Listen to Paul Romano.
I don't think I have a choice.
Yeah. Well, you don't have your wife watching it, do you?
No, no. She'll
straighten you out.
Stuff. Yeah, they got their own insane entertainment on their televisions here.
Do they have Big Brother in Korea? Or the Big
knows?
House or whatever they call it?
Yeah. I refuse to watch television. I, with the exception of Game of Thrones, I used to watch television.
Go download the movie Speciesism. A vegan told me to watch it. It's called Speciesism. See if you like it. Okay. I didn't really like it, watch. Did you watch Michael Moore's Where to Invade Next? It's finally out on Torrent.
Oh yeah, I checked when you mentioned it to me last week, and I couldn't find it, but I'll look for it.
Oh yeah,
again.
It's there. Oh yeah, it's there. He even acknowledges in the movie, since you're probably watching this this illegal download. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I said, how did you know? You waited long enough to release it to DVD, you dummy. I don't think it got any box office at all. I don't know why he waited. He should have just put it direct to download.
Yeah. So I enjoyed his other films, Capitalism, A Love Story.
I like all his garbage.
Yeah, Bowling for Columbine. Yeah.
I liked all of it. I think he's gifted, and that's why
he's witty.
He inserts all the psyops into his movies. Okay, I can take it. But at least I know. I can still be entertained, even if you know. And there's no. I know what I'm getting into. I know my limits, and I know what he's doing. So I'd recommend the movie. The first half is good, and then it just falls off a cliff after that. But
I'd
watch it. Go for it. Go make your coffee. Nescafe.
All right, my friend. Very good. Hoy, it's good
care.
Talking to you, and
I'll
talk to you again.
Be well.
Take care, guys.
Yeah. Peace. There goes Dan O'Hanlahan, and we did a podcast with him called Greetings from South Korea. Him, wife, his son, haircutter. Wow, what a podcast that was. Did you listen to that, Hoy?
No.
Come on. Yeah, it was a good one. Good guy. I don't know why he gets into this Caitlyn Jenner crap. He's Kardashian. That's a syndicate. They're heavily manipulated and used as culture creation change agents with the OJ psyop and now this one. It's just, I don't know.
And not from like legit culture, but from the cabal culture.
Yeah. Well, I guess you consume at your own risk.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, we all kind of do it a little bit. I do still view things and interact with big media things, if not just to sort of understand where people are coming from.
Oh, yeah. I consume to an extent, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I am really hungry, so I'm going to go grab
something.
Nice
chatting with you.
Nice chatting with you. Thank you so much for the podcast recording. And
I'd like to make it a Fakeologist episode, if you don't mind. I'll post it as the Clues Chronicles and as an episode. I don't have much content myself, so I'd be happy to make it an episode as well, if you don't mind.
Well, let me just listen to it once first, but then can I say okay? I'm sure
right.
There's nothing in there bad, but I just wanted it to be like people understand that this isn't recorded with the same kind of fluidity and rawness as normal, because I was trying to like get particular answers out of you to chop up, and so.
Uh-oh.
But yeah, no, don't worry. It's not like I'm. Not remixing or anything. I'm just I'm getting rid of things where we have a dead end or we have like.
You have your work cut out. Then
dead
a lot.
Space. No. It was mostly all usable. Mostly all very.
Oh,
good.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, you let me know if I can post it.
But yeah,
episode.
No, it should be fine. It should be totally fine. My instinct is just release it. But I also want to just listen to it once because I've never done something like that before. Like,
well, you have it. I don't have a copy at the moment. Only you have one, so it's up to you anyway.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
I can give it a listen.
Yeah, of course. I don't have a copy because we recorded in room 9. There's no recorder there.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
This is the live stream that records. Room 9 does not record. So unless if you don't have it, then I don't either.
Anyway, well, I do. But let me just listen.
Sorry, also, Kate couldn't...
I know,
much, I
no, it was good. We got in a couple questions from her. That was good. So she was like there because what I was trying to do is make it so that people understand, like people who have no interest in like diving deep into Fakeologists, who are just like, oh, what is this podcast? they'll listen and they'll go, here's two professional people talking, you know, to another professional researcher kind of. It's like about getting people to just understand where we're coming from without annoying them that, you know, it seems amateurish. Like our stuff, like when you do raw audio, most people like that I know have absolutely no patience for that.
They wouldn't listen
to
that?
They want to hear something that is slightly, because they get annoyed easily with like, oh, this is rambling or, you know, like that. So if we make a nice edited thing, it's not that we're trying to hide things. It's just that it makes it so that people are like, oh, that's palatable. It's like presenting a meal. It. Yeah.
Does it have to be more of an NPR type format? That's
what I'm trying to do.
Yeah,
I'm trying to do a little bit like that. But the moral is never, wow, isn't that profound what we found out, which is mostly NPR shit. We're more like, here's this thing that you need to look at for yourself because we can't tell you what's actually going on.
Well, hopefully you put it off. That'd be great. I'm just too, I don't have the time to polish and compose and structure right now. So I just have to settle for raw audio cast, which
I like your raw audio. Some people will listen. Most people that like, you know, you have in your circle, they listen to it. It's just fine. I'm just talking about from my friends and stuff like that, but
the wider audience better get it out there, man. Whatever you can do.
It takes us a long time to edit these too. I mean, we're averaging less than two a month, I think, at this point.
Because you really edit, you chop a lot out, or
we add music coming fading in and out, and
yeah, I like that. I like that.
They're formatted like you say, like an NPR thing. It's not perfect, and it's only pseudo professional, really. And there are some ums and hesitations that I just leave in because I'm like, okay, whatever. That actually explains that I was thinking about that thing, and so yeah, it's it's weird.
Do you think you could ever get on a public access radio station again, like you did with the
KFAI?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could try. I could certainly try. That was interesting.
Sure.
Yeah, I did get a phone call. And the thing was, but even that was pre-recorded and edited and everything. Like I had constructed it to exactly fit in with the time constraints that they gave me. And I sped up my voice slightly. Just it was kind of like, okay, I need to make this little audio bomb so that people like research, like the whole message is, here's these things, please research it.
But could you even get exact audio, just send it to more public access stations just to play it as it stands, because it's timeless.
That's very nice of you to say. I guess I don't see why I couldn't. Let me look around. I'll see if there's a similar project here in Arizona.
There has to be. There's still public radio, isn't there? I don't even know if there is here, actually. There's campus radio. There's campus radio. These people are pumping crap out all the time.
Universities.
When they like something.
Where thought is allowed, somewhat.
Yeah, you should really, we should look into that. Actually, I should take, I've got the audio course. It's on my site somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
I should see if our local,
please, we need to start engaging like the real society instead of talking in circles. I know that you're.
I know. You're right.
Please, just once in a while, just get out of our zone. And I know you have no time, but you know, there's automatic things we can do, like send a letter, you know, mail an audio, just like simple things.
You're absolutely right. You're right. Actually, I made an effort to get Judy Wood's book in the library way at the beginning.
Excellent. Yeah.
I made an effort, and I even offered to buy the book and just give it to them. I just got stonewalled right away. It was amazing. Because at the time, I had no idea if they had even heard of it.
I mean, I directly interacted with email with, omissions and distortions guy. David Griffin.
Okay.
And I said, hey, I'll make an illustrated version of your book. You know? He was like, okay. But then, I had some, you know, reassessments and I was looking at Simon stuff. And then when I introduced that to him, he was kind of like backed off a little bit. So I was like,
He's one guy never actually looked at his 9/11 stuff. What was his message? Cause wasn't he the first?
It was very good. I mean, very academic. It was, you know, the official story is this. Here's what actually happened, supposedly. So it was kind of like taking the official line and comparing it to the official documentation and showing how poorly coordinated they were and therefore false.
Do you think he's controlled?
Well,
must
yeah,
be if
a little
he didn't
bit.
Look at your stuff.
Yeah, he's claims. I mean, we've had two or three people go right up to him and be like, here's this really important stuff about video fakery. And he's often had an excuse like, I can't, I don't. Actually, when we stopped talking, I asked him about how he was getting Rockefeller money to fund a new world religion or write a new world religion. And he was like, it was too complex. Can't talk about it, kind of. And then we lost touch. But I think that there was something weird about that. Like, wait a minute, is the new world religion this kind of fakery shit? Is that part of it? Is the media itself the holy book of the new religion?
But he was one of the first to talk about 9/11 incongruencies. Is that right?
Yes, and that's what sucked me in. It was like, wow, this guy's on the ball. It only deals with official facts and how they contradict. It was very, very professional. I still would like to try to maybe meet him and talk to him, really, like, why can't you look at this? You've been asked to look at this.
Well, you know what would be worthwhile, Hoy, of course, is to just start calling people and recording. I think that would be valuable, too.
Yes, I'm going to look into the legality of it. Canada, you're good. You can just do it.
I am?
Yeah. But in America, I need to...
I can record people without telling them that I'm recording them?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not a lawyer. I don't offer legal advice, but I think yes.
Well, it's recording and publishing.
And
right?
If I'm in California, I think that's also okay.
Yeah. Anyone can record anyone, but it's the publishing that makes it sticky. Obviously, if I record you, if I record you, for instance, and I don't tell you and don't do anything with it, then only I know about it anyway. Now, if I'm going to use it again,
I think we should reconsider what that is, though. Anyway, that's a whole other big discussion about.
But the point is, though, that it's only a problem if you decide to publish it.
It might not be. Let's look into that. Let's look at that right now. I'm going to look at that. Legally record. I think Canada, you're good.
If I just tell you I'm recording you, like all the businesses tell me they're recording me. And I don't even hear the words anymore because it's so routine. Like, you're being recorded for call quality. You must hear that, right?
Yes. I actually recorded them and told them that I'm recording them, and they were like, yeah, I know. Everything of ours is recorded. It's cool.
The people that are recording you?
Yeah.
I'm recording you back?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. What can they argue? The individual must be advised of the purposes. Okay. So in order to comply with PPDA in Canada, Personal Information Protection and Electronic Documents Act, the individual must be informed that the conversation is being recorded. Check. The individual must be advised of the purposes. So it must be done for this particular reason. If the caller objects to the recording, the organization should provide the caller with meaningful alternatives. And... that's it. I don't think you'd get into too much trouble, you know, especially if you said the purpose of this is documentation of your answers, research purposes, and I am a, you know, independent journalist and all that. You know, that's kind of unequivocal. It's like...
There's no arguing that.
Yeah, if you're an independent journalist and you're claiming that, you know that what you say is... kind of like, this is for the public record. I mean, if you say
this is on the record, yeah. You can't be deceptive. So if I say I'm calling from fakeologist.com, I'm going to be recording this and possibly broadcasting it, and that immediately allows people to put
check
up
out or not
anyway,
exactly,
and filter themselves.
And I think in America, let's see, California, and well, anyway, I'll have to look into it. Looks like I'd have to ask for, I'll ask consent as I normally do.
Hmm.
Well, anyway, I'm super hungry.
I wonder if you should ask before or after. I guess
I do, sometimes, when I was nervous about it, I asked after. And they were like, okay, but it's fine to ask them right away.
Yeah, but that might change the whole tone of the call.
Yes, it will.
It will. It will change the whole thing. You might not get half your answers.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. All right. Well, nice chatting with you, and looking forward to the episode. And let me know when it's up.
Okay.
And,
I will.
Have a great day. And
thank you. You too.
In the desert sun.
Thank you. Yeah. It's at least it's. I think it's getting to be below 100 soon. So.
Oh my gardens! You could fry an egg, I guess, still on the pavement.
Yes, or my feet. I have to be careful.
Oh, I don't know. I'm from up north. I don't know if I could stand that heat. But
well,
you have a swimming?
I'm escaping somewhere. No, no swimming pool, but I'm...
Oh, no swimming. Ugh.
I just flew from... I flew from Fresno. I'm going up to Minneapolis for like a month.
Oh, are you?
And then I'm going to Chicago. You know, I'm doing my best to sort of like minimize...
Are you doing another world tour?
Not yet. Not yet. Maybe Christmas time, or maybe sometime next year, because I want to go meet my only living grandparent left. And
you have one.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
More on that later, but yes.
Yeah, you like to travel. Good for you.
I like to be other places, but the travel itself is not so fun.
You should do a Would you do a vlog? That's the latest rage everywhere, you know, a vlog, video log.
I did one for my family in Australia. Like, when I was in Australia, I documented so much, and I did, like, video slideshows with them, and they thought it was fun and great. But for the whole world to see, I don't know. Maybe.
You should. I'd like to see you go up to people and talk about all the things you talk about. Do a vlog. That'd be great.
Well.
Think about it.
It's a nice thought. Well, I've also been told to write a book, and I just...
No, nobody reads books. Don't waste your time. Do a vlog, 10 minutes a day.
Uh-huh.
Look at, I'm watching, there's quite a, it's the latest rage, I'm telling you. It's been the latest rage for a while, but I'm watching Casey Neistat, who of course did a 9/11 little vlog as well when he started. But go look him up. He's probably one of the biggest.
Mm. And, I like to watch some that are about like hiking and stuff. Those are really interesting, like what they pack and how they camp and stuff. I've been watching those, the GoPro people.
Yeah. Well, Casey is a bit of a movie producer, so he's highly produced, highly edited, highly.
No, I don't want to watch that stuff.
All right. Well, that's my culture candy. So if you don't want to watch
it. We all have our own.
But you would be, it'd be cool if you, cause you're traveling, as you said, and take a camera and start pointing at people, say, hey, what do you think of this, this, and this? Have you ever looked into this? And
well, it's a good idea. I would love to do that. I just,
I love watching Man on the Street. I don't care who's doing it. I just love watching people answer.
I would love to do that. And people do like the attention and being on camera. So I don't know. It'd be fun, but I just have to.
I would
really...
even we could even crowdfund your camera equipment.
yeah.
Buy a nice Canon E70 and a Rode microphone, and you'd be all set.
It would take over my life somewhat, and I already don't have enough time for my art. But yeah,
that is art.
It is. No, I know.
That is art. Why don't you and make money? Maybe you can make money at it.
No, I don't want to do that. I definitely don't want to make money at it. No.
Well, just from advertising, from your blog. Incidentals?
No.
All right.
No money. No,
I understand.
It pollutes it. It pollutes the whole purpose of it.
Even if it's donations?
Yes. Donations are even, like, barely acceptable because sometimes you need to disclose, in my opinion, you need to disclose what you're getting and from whom. And we barely do that at Clues Forum correctly.
Yeah, I didn't see my donation posted.
Well, I counted it up once, and I was like, all right, let me just look at this. And he was like, okay, and we pulled it up, and I counted it all with a calculator, and it made just the amount of money that we spent to put it up. So we broke totally even, maybe like $100 less or more. I was like, wow, this
recently?
Is great. Yes, just now when I got back in September.
Okay.
And so the whole time we've had it up since, 2011 or something, it's broke even totally from donations. And that was because probably we put up the donations thing later and we weren't even, we were like, okay, now it's actually costing us money to.
I don't see any shame in taking donations. If it, I prefer donations over membership. I think it's way better, and I think you should. Anyone who wants their name published should have it published.
But what's better than both is being able to just do it. And if there I'm serious. Like, we don't need to think about it in terms of the way that it's been framed for us, that we need this fiat dollar system to run it. Barter is a possibility. You know, there's friends with servers. This is the ideal, in my opinion, that we should be striving for. Instead of settling. This is what we have to do now. This is absolutely what we have to do now. But eventually it would be good. And if we're going to have responsible governments, then they should donate a portion to public watchdog services. And there should be all sorts of things that could be. But for now, you know, it's very fragile, delicate moral ground. And I get disturbed by the number of YouTube people who are just like tromping all over that and saying, oh, yeah, I make money and I sell mugs. And I'm like, okay, so what do you care about? What do you really care about? And that, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I think donations are good. So that's just my take on it. I listen to the No Agenda show. They thrive on donations, and I think it works.
Well, I thrive on my own efforts. And if that's a conservative opinion, then so be it.
That's true. All right. Well, go eat. Nice chatting with you. Let me know when everything's up, and talk at you next time.
Yes. Be well. Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Take care.
Bonjour. Je suis Unreal et vous écoutez Radio Fakeologist avec Abirato et ses invités.